If you have a copy of God's Word, turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 2. 2 Corinthians chapter 2. In verse 11, the Apostle Paul, writing to the church of Corinth, says, "Lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices." Paul knew the enemy, and he knew that he has devices, methods to trap and to tempt God's people. As you look at the life of Paul from his beginning, as you read the book of Acts all the way through, how he was persecuted, how he was suffered for the cause of Christ, all the different adversaries. In one place he says, Satan hindered us. So we do have an adversary. And we need to remember that this morning, that we do have an adversary. The devil, as Peter says, is a roaring lion walking about, seeking whom he may devour. Now, there's something we must take serious. Each one of us can come indifferent to the devil. We can come indifferent to God. We become indifferent to each other. And we can become indifferent to our own needs. In other words, we get into a state of mind where we're just kind of drifting along in our life. No purpose, just kind of going like a fish going downstream, just floating along with the water. We all have to be aware that each one of us has a personal battle with the devil, an adversary. And we need to guard our lives, as we're going to see, and be prepared for the Christian battle. I can remember when I first became a member of a church, put my faith and trust in Jesus Christ, and we sang that song, "Oh Happy Day, It Fixed My Choice. Oh Happy Day When Jesus Washed My Sins Away." You say, "Boy, it's all my trials is over now." Yes, it's all. They're all over. But they're just beginning. When you give your life to the Lord, the battle has begun. Satan will stir up every enemy, every demonical power he has to hinder God's people from being faithful to the Lord Jesus Christ. And as we think about the different devices Satan has, he attacks us in the body and in the soul, and in the spirit. And in the body, he brings temptations to satisfy our flesh, our unlawful desires. You know, God's word says the bed is undefiled, but whores and whoremongers God would judge. Now, God created marriage for the good of mankind. That's the purpose. The Bible says for man not to touch a woman. That means in a sexual way, not to touch a woman until they are a husband and wife. That's God's order. That's God's word. Now then, if you give place to the devil and you disobey God, then you're giving place to the devil. Now, in the age in which we live today, people drifting through life as if there's no consequences of how you live and what you do. Yes, there's consequences. If you sow to the flesh, you'll reap to the flesh. You sow to the Spirit, you reap to the Spirit. And beloved, believe me, from my own experience, it doesn't pay to go against God's Word. When God makes a statement, it's absolute truth. Absolute. So when God makes statements, we need to order our lives as much as humanly possible to God's Word and obey the Word of God. Temptations of the flesh. Against the soul, he brings temptations of the world. Now, none of us can say that we're not tempted by the world. We all are. The pleasures of the world, the cares of the world, the riches of the world. There's many things of the world that draws us to the world. And these are some of the things that we have to deal with. against the Spirit, He comes to us to win our allegiance. Remember, when you give obedience, when you obey sin instead of obeying God, you're giving allegiance to Satan. So we don't think that way because Satan is deceitful. He hides behind, you know, he doesn't want to be unveiled so you can see him as he really is. So every act of disobedience is saying yes to Satan. Now, we don't like to think about it in that sense. And every act of sin is we are rebelling against what? The sovereignty of God. God is absolute sovereign of this universe. And when we sin, we say we want to be sovereign. I want to do as I will, no matter what God says. Now, there is where we all have the problem. We've got to deny our own wills. When anything comes contrary to this book, in my life or your life, when we don't obey it, we suffer the consequences. Most of the troubles in people's lives today, we blame everything on the devil. But a lot of it is our own responsibility because we yield to sin. Satan can tempt, Roger, but he can't make you accept the temptation. It's that ego, I. You have to make that decision. And when you make the decision to obey sin instead of obeying God, then we face the consequences. And then we are giving place to the devil. And it's so easy to do, beloved. So easy to do. And remember what Jesus taught, that we are defiled from within. From out of the heart proceeds what? Evil, all of these different sins that we know of. It's a heart problem. That's why it's so imperative that a man needs to be born again. A woman needs to be born again. We need the Spirit of God to transform us. And then even after that, after we're born again and regenerated, we need to obey the Word of God because Jesus is our Lord and Master. When you come down and you say, I want to join the church and be baptized, you go under the water. As you go under the water, it's a picture of the death of Christ. You come out of the water, it's a picture of what? The resurrection of Christ. It's a picture that I've died to the old man and I'm to walk in newness of life, and you're making a confession of faith before others that I'm going to follow the Lord and that He is now my Master. That's the beginning. That's just the beginning of the battle. Unto death do you part from this flesh, that you will fight until you give up the ghost. It's a warfare. Don't let no one deceive you. It's a wonderful life. Nothing greater than serving the Lord. Nothing greater than singing praises to God. Nothing greater than knowing your sins are washed away. But at the same time, realize that you are in a spiritual warfare with your enemy, Satan. As Paul was writing in his different epistles, the one I quoted to you earlier is in 1 Thessalonians 2:18. He says, wherefore we would have come unto you, even I, Paul, once and again, but Satan hindered us. Satan hindered us. So we have an adversary who hinders us in our spiritual walk. You must realize that. You know, sometimes we live as though there is no devil. Sometimes we live as if there's no God. You say, how can we do that? If we don't pray, what are we becoming? Self-sufficient, aren't we? We don't take time to pray. We don't read the Word of God. We don't seek the Lord. We're acting as if there's no God in practical obedience. We're denying God by the way we live. I think it was Charnock said, it's not atheism openly that does harm, but it's practical atheism in the life of Christians that does the most harm. We profess to believe God, but in works we deny. We profess one thing and we live another. Beloved, that's where we have to make sure our allegiance is with the Lord. And it's not something that you start today and you quit tomorrow. Satan means the accuser. In Revelation 12:10, it says, "And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of His Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accuseth them before our God day and night." You remember the case of Job. Satan appeared before God. And he says, oh, you know, Job would curse you to the face if you take away this head you've got around him. You're protecting him. Take that away and touch his flesh and he'll curse you. He'll curse you to your face. And we all know that Job was faithful. The trouble that Job had, he was a little self-righteous. And finally, over in the book of Job and over in the later chapters, what did you see Job doing? Repenting in sackcloth and ashes. He realized he was self-righteous. And it's easy for us as Christians to become self-righteous. Well, I'm holier than thou. Don't get too close to me. I don't want to get defiled. Oh, that's a dangerous attitude when you get like that as Christians. Thinking you're better, you're holier than other people. Remember, it's only by the grace of God we are what we are. He's a deceiver. And this is where he gets most people, Satan does. He deceives people. In Revelation 20, verse 10, it says, "And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophets are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever." Forever and ever. Deceiver. Paul speaks about Christians being bewitched. Being bewitched. It speaks about unlawful passions, unlawful desires, those things that are unlawful. Someone is married to a young woman, and all of a sudden this man who's married to his wife has five kids, all of a sudden he's in love with another woman. Unlawful desire. Ungodly desire is what it is. Ungodly. It's not love, beloved. It's lust. Now, we don't like to talk like that, but we must realize how many people today are being deceived and are living a deceived life. Christ said, "Preach the truth. Preach it on the housetops so the captives can be set free." You must face your condition. I must face my condition before we can be set free. He didn't come to call the righteous, but who? Sinners to repentance. And beloved, there's not a person in this congregation this morning who's not a sinner. Even after the grace of God, we're still sinners needing the grace of God. So as we think about the deceiver, are you being deceived in your personal life? If a person who's married thinks they're in love with someone else, they are deceived. Now, people say, "Oh, you don't know how I feel. Oh, you don't know how much I love that person." Oh, it's all deception of demonical powers, beloved. We must face the truth. Now, I know this isn't pleasant to the ear today, but everything is legal today. Everything is going. Jesus said, "In the last days, as sin shall abound, as iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold." We see in this age in which we live, sin is becoming abounding and is abounding, and you're seeing more and more people getting into sin. Well, this is okay, and this is okay, and that's okay. Doesn't matter what you do. Sin is no longer sin. You can't call sin anymore. Oh, you're just a bigot. You're self-righteous. God's Word is the one that gives the definition of sin, not the preacher. When God makes a statement, it's absolute truth. And believe me that one day we shall all face God and you will have to give an account how you acted toward His Word. It's important. He's a tempter. Matthew 4:3 says, "And when the tempter came to him, Jesus, he said, If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread." Satan knows each one of us perfectly to a certain way. He knows what temptation to prepare for each one of us. Some people it's money, power. Some people it could be sexual. Some people it could be just to be have the authority and the rule, to be the president of the United States. To others it can be pleasures of the world. To others it can be a Delilah. To others it can be any, many different things, beloved. But you have to try the spirits to see if they be of God, God says in 1 John. This is serious business. This is not a play game. We come over here and hear a sermon and go home and it's all over with for the week. No, this is life and death. This is serious. Being a Christian is serious. And as parents today, we're not taking it serious. We don't warn our children of the way they're living, how they're living, what they're doing. We just push it under the carpet and just say, well, you know, everyone else is doing it. Does that make it right? Jesus said, why call me Lord, Lord, and do not the thing which I say? If we profess to be a Christian and we disobey His word, why are you calling Him Lord of your life then? Why am I calling Him Lord of my life? He's to be obeyed. He's to be yielded to. The Lord is to be loved. He said, if you love me, keep my commandments. How do we know we love the Lord? Are you keeping His commandments? If you're rejecting His word, if you're living in sin, if you're rebelling against what He teaches, beloved, you're not showing any love for the Lord. Tempter. Look back in your life. Now look back in my life. I can see how Satan tempted me through my life in the past. We're older. Some of us are older than you younger people. We can look back in our lives and see how Satan has tempted us through our lives. We recognize that. But when you're young and your mind is alert and you're just starting out in life, you don't see those things as clearly as I can see those things. But remember that every day when you go out into this world, you will be tempted, maybe when you're not thinking about it. Usually Satan will come in your weakest moment, when you are your weakest, depressed, discouraged, down and out. That's when he lays the bait. But 99% people will grab the bait when they're at that point. When did he come to Christ? After he had fasted and prayed for 40 days. And his body appetites were desiring food. Then Satan came to him and tempted him in the area of food. Turn this rocks to bread. Nothing wrong with eating food, don't get me wrong, but he was trying to get Jesus to act independent of his Father's will as a man. He's called the dragon. In Revelation chapter 12, verse 7 says, and there was a war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels. Showing to you and I, as we read the book of Revelation, the book of Daniel, that there is a spiritual warfare going on in the world. You can't see it. How many can see demons in here this morning? You can't see them. How many has ever seen the devil? You can't see the devil. But he's real. How many has seen the Lord? You can't see the Lord. But by faith, you can sense him. By faith, you can lay hold of him. And how do we know there's a devil? Because God says there is the devil. And he tempted Christ. And he tempted Peter. Peter, who was so confident that he would never deny the Lord. I believe he really meant that. Lord, I'd die for you. He really thought he would, but he didn't know the wickedness and the fear of his own heart. And you and I, sometimes we have this attitude, I'm going to serve the Lord no matter what. That's our attitude is right. But we don't realize the enemy that we have to face knows more than we do. He's more powerful than we are. He knows how to lay the bait. He knows how to tempt. He knows how to deceive. He knows how to get us in a situation. It's like the fly who got into the spider web. The more it wiggles, the more it gets entangled. It can't get away. And when Satan gets us into his web that he lays out for us, we try to get out. We try to get out. You cannot get out without calling on the Lord. When Peter was sinking in the water, what could he do to stop himself from sinking in that water? He couldn't do anything but sink. And that's how we are at times in our Christian life. When we start sinking, beloved, you can do nothing in your own power to stop from sinking. But call on the Lord who can reach down and lift you up. That's all you can do. You're helpless. People say, well, do this or do that, do this or do that. A drowning man needs saving. And a person, even in your Christian walk as Christians, as we're battling with the devil and as we're falling and if we have yielded to sin and we're sinking, we need help, maybe another brother or sister to lift us up or the Lord to reach down miraculously by His grace and lift us up. And sometimes He uses human means for that. I'd like to encourage each one of you. If you've been through the trials of life, encourage someone this week. You know someone that's really down and cast out and burdened because of sin, because of sickness, because of cancer? Help that individual this week. Comfort that individual. We're all in the same category. We're all going through the same trial, the same burdens, the same heartaches. Peter says Satan is a roaring lion walking about seeking whom he may devour. And he said, each one of us has that same temptations and trials. So comfort one another. Be there to help one another. If I get knocked down and quit serving the Lord, don't just say, oh, you know, Brother Rhodes used to serve the Lord, this and that. People want to criticize you, find fault with you. Come to me and help me. Encourage me. Now, you can rebuke me, that's fine. But be there to be my strength and lift me up. Don't come down there to walk on. See, that's the trouble with a lot of Christianity today. They want to walk on people, criticize people, find fault with people. You don't have to tell a person he's out of God's will. They know it. Now, you can come to a brother and say, Brother, can I help you in any way? Is there anything I can do? Can we pray together? Everyone needs help at times in their walk with God. Ministers the same as anyone else. We're not on some pedestal up here that we can't be touched by the devil. We're tempted more than you are, basically. Because the higher you go, the farther it is to fall. That's why it was so difficult for Peter. So pray this week. If God shows you comfort, Paul says, by the same comfort that God comforted you, comfort one another. He's called the prince of this world. Talking about the evil system. He said in John 12:31, now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. He's the prince of this world system. When God says teaches us to love not the world, what's he talking about? He's talking about the evil system of this world. The wickedness. The ungodliness. The rebellious spirit, the Antichrist spirit. Love not the Antichrist spirit of this world. That's what he's saying. So some people say, well, you mean we can't do anything? It's not talking about that. God gives us all things richly to enjoy, the things that are blessing. Husband and wife is a blessing to enjoy. Food is a blessing to enjoy, to give us health and strength. Families are a blessing. We can comfort and look back on our families, our brothers, our sisters, our cousins, our aunts, our uncles. These are all blessings of God. The home is the institute that God gave us in the Garden of Eden. And Satan is trying to do what today? To destroy the home. To destroy marriage as we know it between one man and one woman. He's working in, he's destroying the very foundation, trying to destroy the very foundation of our society, which is the home and which is the church of the living God, to corrupt it. He's a deceiver. And he's doing it through the governments, through laws, through passing laws. See, he's very deceitful. He gets his instruments. He puts them in high places. Remember the teaching in Paul. He says, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against spiritual wickedness in high places. What do you mean high places? In governments, where decisions are made. In the Supreme Court, where decisions are made that affect all our lives. Satan is working in these places. He's working in the realm of authority. The president, whether it be President Obama, Putin in Russia, the one in China, they are instruments of Satan. They are taken captive to him by his will. Don't be surprised that the world that we're living in is so chaotic. United States of America is not a Christian nation. Don't deceive yourself. We are not a Christian nation. God's kingdom is in the United States. But basically, we are not a Christian nation in the sense of being putting God first in our nation. Our nation hates God. It's being revealed all the time in a Supreme Court decision, and the president's decision, and the government's decisions, all the decisions. Now, there's a lot of God's people trying to hold up the banner. Thank God for them. But most of the decisions in this world, in our governments, made according to the sinful course of this world. The Word of God says very clearly, the whole world lieth in the wicked one. Doesn't that include the United States of America? Yes, it does. Does that include Russia? Yes, it does. Does that include China? Yes, it does. It's only by God's restraining grace that we haven't destroyed each other as yet. I say as yet. He's called a prince and power of the air. In Ephesians 2:2, it says, "Wherein time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince and power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience." Every one of us that's born in this world are walking under the course of Satan. We're born with a wicked nature. Well, I don't like to hear that, Brother Rhodes. Well, that's God's word. You're born a sinner. You're born depraved. You're born under the power of Satan. And until you're born again the second time by the Holy Spirit, you are under the course of this world doing those things that please the flesh. He's called the god of this world, small g. 2 Corinthians 4:4 said, "In whom the god of this world," age, world means age, "hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them." And only God can shine that gospel through that darkness into your soul and give you light to see Jesus as He is, your Lord and Savior. Be sober. Now, it's not talking about drunkenness, basically, in this. It's talking about being spiritually alert as Christians. Don't be sleeping. Don't be rocked into a numbness. Be alert. Be alert. Be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, is walking about seeking whom he may devour. And oh, how many times we forget that, Steve. Satan wants to devour you. Satan wants to devour me. Each one of us that's here, we forget that. It's a battle. And we have to remind ourselves. Peter says, stirring up your pure minds. We have to be reminded, yes, we're Christians if we're a believer in Jesus Christ. If we're followers of Christ, we're Christians. And because of that, we are in a spiritual conflict. Who's going to be a witness to your children, our neighbors, our friends, our brothers, our sisters? That is our responsibility to tell them the truth, even though it hurts. If we see our children doing wrong and we don't warn them, we're wrong. Parents, it's your God-given responsibility. That doesn't mean they have to obey what you say, but at least you can warn them of what they're doing wrong. And this isn't pleasant. I realize that, but it's needful. As I look at the conditions around us today and I'm thinking about how things are going in the world, I realize we need to get back down to reality and face the truth. This is not a play church. We're not coming here to amuse each other. This is not an entertainment society where we got bands playing music trying to entertain you and put you to, and make you feel good. It's not a feel-good religion. In a sense, but when we're spiritual, we're obeying the Lord, you'll feel good, all right. You'll be rejoicing in your Lord and your God. You'll be singing praises to God for His keeping you and protecting you and your family. We are witnesses for the Lord, beloved. We are witnesses for Jesus Christ. We are to witness to those around us of the goodness and mercy of God in forgiving sinners. Aren't you glad God had mercy on you? I'm glad He forgave me, a wretched sinner. If He can forgive me, as Paul says, I'm the chief of sinners. No, Paul, I think I'm the chief of sinners. We all feel like that. Mercy. Oh, that day. I can remember, still go back and see that day when Jesus revealed to me His mercy in forgiving my sins. Gone. Forgiven. Cleansed. I don't have to worry about the sins of the past and things that I've done and things that I'm ashamed of. But the thing is, they all have been cleansed by the blood of the Lamb. Washed away. Never to be brought up against me no more. Oh, hallelujah. What a Savior we serve. Satan is called an angel of light. 2 Corinthians 11:14. And no marvel, said Paul, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Deceiving. He appears to be an angel of light, but he's actually an angel of darkness. That's why he's so deceitful. Therefore, it is no great thing that his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. Not everyone who's saying, Lord, Lord, in the pulpit today is son of God. There's a lot of false prophets going out into the world. There's a lot of people today saying Jesus was only a good man. But he's not God. Some are saying, oh, he was just a created angel. Some are saying, oh, he was just a phantom. He was a ghost. He wasn't really real. There's many things being taught today. The only safeguard we have, beloved, is the Word of God. Stay close to the Word of God. Even good preachers. Preachers who preach fundamentally the truth at times in their life can get off the course and preach things that are not biblical. What is our standard of truth? God's Word. Paul said in Ephesians 4:27, neither give place to the devil. How do you give place to the devil? God says to flee from the very appearance of evil. If a person is an alcoholic, my stepdad was, and they keep going into the taverns where the whiskey and beer and stuff is at and being tempted, what's going to happen eventually? They're going to have one. And that one will lead to another, which will lead to another, which will lead to another. See, that's giving place to the devil. The Bible says to abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good. If you don't hate evil, then you're going to yield to it. It's that simple. We have compromised our values today as a nation. Man and wife, between man and woman, no longer is looked at. It's just a term. They want to do away with that, man and woman. And all these other perversions that's going on in our society today, in our nation. I never dreamed that I'd ever dream to ever see the day that we're living in happening. How wicked. We call it a Christian nation. In word only. We are one of the most ungodliest nations under the earth, as far as I'm concerned. United States of America. Wicked. Ungodly. Perverted. Antichrist. Anti-God. They would remove God out of everything if they could. This is the nation which we live in. And remember, this is not our world. We're not of America. We're of that city and builder whose maker is God. We're pilgrims and strangers in America. We're here, but this is not our home. We're passing through. And sometimes we get our roots a little too deep. Don't forget where you're headed, where your home's at. Amen, Roger? We have a heaven citizenship, beloved. We are citizens of heaven as children of God. There's coming a day when the Bible says in 1 Peter that this world and everything in it will be dissolved. There'll be a dissolving of the elements. Fire shall consume this earth. There'll be new heavens and new earth. One day it'll be gone. Everything that you see right now that we can see, one day you'll see it no more, except those who are children of God. These buildings, this earth, the cars, all the things that mankind and his wisdom has built and created, one day will be no more. There will be a new heavens and new earth wherein dwelleth what? Righteousness. Hallelujah. So ask yourself this morning, what are you doing? Are you giving place to the devil in your life? If God says, thou shalt not do it, and you turn around and do it, what are you doing? Giving place to the devil. In other words, he's getting the advantage over you. And he don't need no advantage. As he says, lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. That's why we have to put on the armor of God that Paul speaks about in Ephesians chapter 6. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Put on the armor of God. In other words, every day you have to face the world with God. Jesus is our armor. Everything you need is in Jesus Christ, as it speaks in Ephesians chapter 6. He says, finally, my brethren, now this is to the children of God, those who have been born again, those who profess that Jesus is Lord of their life, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. There's only one place we can go. Where did Psalmist say, where could I go but to the Lord? There's nowhere else to go. Where do sinners go for forgiveness? Now, sometimes we can forgive one another. If I say something to Bill or if I do something wrong to Bill, I should go to Bill and ask Bill to forgive me. I'm sorry, Bill. We can forgive one another. And Bill can forgive me. Or Roger or vice versa. But when we sin against the Word of God, we're sinning against who? God. He said, thou shalt not steal. And if we steal, who are we sinning against? God. We need to go to God for forgiveness. And if we don't, we're giving place to the devil. He goes on to say in this chapter, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles or the stratagems of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand in the evil day, having done all to stand. There are some days that you're going to face evil in a particular way. All of a sudden, it seems like all hell broke out against you. Evil thoughts. Seems like evil thoughts come to your mind. You can't get them out. Seems like you're being tempted in various ways. Seems like all evil is just coming against you. Those are the days where you need to really stay close to God, because having done all to stand against those days. And they're going to come to all of us. There's not a person in this congregation who will not be tempted some days more than others, to the point of almost breaking our will to stand. See, that's what Satan is trying to do. Break our allegiance to God. And how does he do that? Tempting us to be disobedient, like he tempted Adam to disobey God's, thou shalt not eat of it. The day you eat of this fruit, thou shalt surely die. And that was his temptation. And who did he use to tempt him? He used Eve, the very treasure of his heart. He couldn't reject Eve, so he rejected God. Now that's how deceitful Satan is. And during our time of temptations, we don't realize all of that because our minds are being tempted and we don't think clearly. That's when we have to stay close to God's Word and stay close to one another and stay close to the Word of God. And he goes on to say, "Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth and having on the breastplate of righteousness." You've got to have the truth. Christ says, "You'll know the truth, and truth will set you free." "And your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the darts of the wicked." And I said, most people don't even realize there's a battle going on. They don't even know what I'm talking about. What darts? I didn't see no dart flying through the air. But there's that dart that comes to your heart and it brings forth sin. The Bible said after sin is brought forth, it brings forth death. The wages of sin is what? Death. The eternal wages of sin is eternal damnation. "Praying always with all prayer and supplications in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplications for all saints." Beloved, we all need to pray one for another. As you go out this morning, I'll be praying for you and you pray for me. You're going to face things this week. The enemy is real, believe me. And he's working on your sisters, your brothers, your cousins, your aunts, your uncles, your children. He's out to deceive and destroy each one of them and you and me. Are we serious about this? Are we going to tell the truth to those around us? Are we willing to suffer for the cause of Christ? Are you willing to tell your children they're doing wrong when they're doing wrong? Are you willing to tell a brother or sister you're doing wrong with what you're doing? You should give that up because God condemns it. Now see, there's what it costs to be a Christian. Are you willing to do it in your own family and in your own friends? You got someone you grew up with and they're living a wicked life and disobeying God and doing evil things. Are you warning them of that lifestyle, that the way you're going is destruction? There's more to being a Christian than just coming here on Sunday morning, sitting for 30, 40 minutes and hearing a sermon. It's an everyday situation. We've been called out of the kingdom of darkness into the God's kingdom of His dear Son to be a witness, to testify of Jesus and His salvation and of His greatness, and be willing to tell those we love the truth. What you're doing is wrong. Don't do it. God will not bless you if you live in sin. That's what we need to tell people. I've had to do that in some instances in my life. It wasn't easy. Sometimes it's easier. Just don't say nothing. Just pretend like it's okay. Sweep it out of the rug. See, we're just like Peter. We're cowards. No, we haven't openly denied Christ as he did, but we do it every day in situations like that. Instead of standing up for the truth and telling people the truth, what you're doing is wrong, God will not bless your life, you will not be blessed by living a lifestyle like that. No, we don't say anything. We're denying Christ, in a sense. Now, I don't mean you go around every day beating up people up. No. But we should tell them in honest and in love. Do it in love. Don't do it with a hypocrisy spirit that I'm better than you. That's evil. Oh, you're unholy. You're this and nah, not that kind of spirit. Just tell people, God says this, and I say you're doing that. You should give it up because God said it's wrong. And leave it at that. Don't judge them in a sense you're condemning them. God's the one who judges us. Who am I to judge anybody? I have to judge myself and confess my sins to God. But if I see my daughter or my grandson or someone in my family going the wrong way, it's my responsibility to warn them. Son, grandson, that's wrong what you're doing. You should forsake that. God condemns that in His Word. You will not be blessed if you continue that lifestyle. That's our responsibility as God's people. These are just a few thoughts I wanted to bring to the church this morning. I'm going to continue this on later. But I want us to realize that we are in a warfare. Our nation's in a warfare. Look at our nation, what turmoil we're in America. Where's the churches at today? Where's their weeping in the house of God and praying and having prayer meetings and fasting in our churches all over the land? You don't hear, but nothing's going on. We just go on with our little routine, our little meetings, our little socials, our little get-together. No tears, no weeping for our nation, no weeping because of sin. Oh, we are in desperate need as God's people. If my people shall humble themselves and confess their sins, God said, I'll heal their nation and heal the land. The trouble with the nation today is the gospel is not being preached and the world is getting corrupt. Only the gospel keeps the earth from being putrefied. The salt, the word of God going forth, it's ceased. And in the end times, as we're getting closer to that day when it's all going to be over, there's coming an end, beloved. The second coming of Christ is coming. Hallelujah. Whose side will you be on when He comes? I pray you'll be on His side because He's the winning side. Read the book of Revelation. One thing is clear in Revelation. We've won, Jesse. We've won. When that word comes back with that sword in His hand, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, we have won the battle. Until He comes, we're in a battle to fight and be faithful. And I thought about that verse this week. Of the children of God who love the Lord and they love not their lives unto death. Are you willing to die for the Lord? Do you love Him? Do I love Him that much? We don't know. Truly, we don't know until we face it. Like those Christians over in some of those nations over there in Asia. Are you a Christian or a Muslim? And when they said Christian, their head came off. What would I do and what would you do in a time like that? See, there's where the road where it really gets serious. You know, to confess Christ means your head's gone. Are we willing to die? They loved not their lives unto death. If we can't even deny that, and we can't even deny sin, what a rebuke to us today. We're so selfish, self-centered, self-loving, self-satisfying. All we need to be brought down to see ourselves and really confess what we really are. We need to empty ourselves of ourselves and pray for God to fill us with Himself. May we pray. Our gracious and loving Father, Lord, we do have an adversary, the devil. Father, we know that all of us will be tempted and tested in various ways. And only by the grace of God we can stand against the things that come against us. But Lord, through all our fallings, through all our mistakes, through all our sinfulness, through all our ungodliness, thank You that there's mercy with the Lord in forgiveness. Thank You, Lord Jesus, for dying on the cross to wash our sins away as far as the east is from the west. Thank You, Lord Jesus, for forgiving us and cleansing us, that our sins have been washed in Your precious blood. Give us wisdom this week. Help us to love that which is good and to hate that which is evil. To love righteousness and hate unrighteousness. Help us to be aware of the wicked one that we have to face every day in some way we don't even know. Help us not to be deceived as others are. But help us to walk in the light as He is in the light. And the blood of Jesus Christ, Your Son, cleanses us from all sin. We give You the praise and honor and the glory. In Christ's name we give thanks. Amen. Does someone have a song and offering to the Lord?